Blog Talk Radio.
We all learn from it, and we must take it to heed. As has been said, we are not to hold or bear any grudge against the children of our people. And the Almighty told us to bait our cause with our neighbor himself and discover not a secret to another. So if one of us has done something or said something that you disagree with, it is incumbent upon you to approach us and tell us. But whatever you correct us with, let it be within the confines of the law. Let it not be your feelings or the way you see things. For according to Isaiah 55 and 8, the scriptures where it states that Yahweh said, "Your ways are not my ways, and your thoughts are not my thoughts. And as heaven above is higher than the earth below, so is my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." So let's not trust in our own self, our own feelings, or even our own heart. The scriptures further says in Jeremiah 17 and 9 that the heart is deceitful above all things. And desperately wicked, who can know it? So here we are told not to even put no confidence in our own heart, our own thoughts, our own friends, our own guides. But as according to Proverbs 3 and 5, it says, "Trust in Yahweh with all your heart," all of it. Not part of it with him and part of it to your idols that you have. But it says, "Trust in Yahweh with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding." It says, "In all your ways," not part of them, but "in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thy own eyes, fear Yahweh, and depart from evil." So let's quit being wise in our own eyes. Let's quit trusting in our own thoughts. Let's quit having safety in our own hearts. But let us put all our minds, hearts, body, and soul into the words of the Almighty. Let Him be our guide. Let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread. The Scriptures tells us further that the very first commandment is the greatest. It is the greatest of all the commandments. And the first commandment says, I am Yahweh, thou Elohim. Thou shalt have no other deities. In some of your Bibles, it might say gods. But you're not to have any other deities before the Almighty, period. Whether those deities might be a person that you learn to admire, such as many of you all have learned to admire Malcolm X. Many of you all have learned to admire and idolize Martin Luther King. But I'm making an indictment against you this day. If you put any of these idolaters before the Almighty and trust in anybody other than the Almighty, you're doomed to fail. We don't care if you made an idol out of Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Louis Farrakhan, Jesse Jackson. There's no hope nor safety in these men. The only hope and safety you have is in the Almighty. So this very day I'm making an indictment against many of my brothers in here, many of my sisters, because my heart has told me that you have begin to idolize different people. And because you idolize these different people, you have committed the greatest sin in the Bible, and that is idolatry. The worship, the bowing, the praying, the fasting, the holding anyone up in high esteem except the Creator, you're committing this sin. And so today I would like to share with you what the Creator has spoken concerning these individuals. If we turn our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, we find that is recorded by the mouth of the true and living Elohim. In the 18th chapter, Deuteronomy, the 18th verse, the Almighty said, I will raise them up a prophet from amongst their brethren, like unto thee. He's speaking to Moses. He said, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of them. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that to speak in the name of other deities, whether those deities might be the one that I call Uncle Al, y'all call him by another Islamic name, whether the deity might be the one that you think is the king of Ethiopia, or whether the deity might be the so-called Christ of the New Testament, what other deity you speak in. The Almighty said, if they speak the name, or speak in my name, or shall speak in the name of other deities, even that prophet shall die. Any prophet that the Almighty sent spoke only in his name. Ezekiel, he said, go to the people and tell the people what thus said Yahweh. Never did the Creator say, go to the people and tell them what Paul said, or what John said, or what JC said. The reason you cannot go and speak in the name of other deities, the Creator said that I am a jealous Elohim, and I'll not give my glory unto another. So the Creator has never given his glory unto another because he's a jealous Elohim, even a consuming fire. Consuming power. And we that know the Almighty will never put anybody before him, beside him. Even Moses, who was known as the greatest prophet that ever lived. The scripture said there will never be another prophet like unto Moses, who I knew face to face and speak to as a man speaking unto him, my friend. He said, but nevertheless, Moses will not go to the promised land. I'll take him up on the mountains. Let him look over and see the land, but he shall not go therein. The reason Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land, even though he was the greatest prophet of all times, and there will never be another prophet like unto Moses. Moses made a serious mistake. He forgot to sanctify the Almighty. He forgot to sanctify or separate or exalt the Almighty. He told him to hit the rock and the water should come out. But instead of Moses giving honor and glory unto Yahweh, whose honor and glory is due, and unto him only, he hit the rock twice and said, come drink, ye rebels. He never said, thus said Yahweh, or this is what Yahweh told me to do, or this is what Yahweh has delivered unto you. He exalted himself. And in the instance that he exalted himself, the Almighty took Moses and not allowed him to enter into the promised land. You might say, well, why would he do this to Moses?
Yeah.
A man that made one little mistake.
All right.
The scripture tells us in the book of Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, the 11th verse, it tells us, fear not the chastisement of Yahweh, neither be weary of his correction. For whom Yahweh loveth, he will correct, as the father in a son in whom he is delighted. If the Almighty is delighted in you, he will correct you. He will not let you do what other people do. The wicked, he set a watchman of wickedness over the wicked. And the angel of death is encamped in his house. But to they that trust in him, an angel is in their camp. And as the Almighty told Moses, watch what you do and watch what you say, because there is an angel that I'm going to send with you, and he will not hesitate to take your life. So we find out when Moses was reluctant and somewhat negligent in circumcising his son, the angel came to slay him. And his wife took a stone and circumcised her son and threw it at the foot of Moses to save Moses' life. You might say, well, didn't a lot of people go uncircumcised and didn't get struck down immediately? And that is true. But those people were not as close to the Almighty as Moses. And the closer you are to the Creator, the more he watches your step. And we know that we are not to learn the ways of the heathens. We are not to be like other people. For the Almighty said, for thou art a holy nation unto me, and thou shalt be a peculiar and particular nation unto myself, above who? All the nations that are on the earth. So you're not to fear their fear and love the things that they love, because you're to be peculiar, and that means you are to be different. But many of us don't know what that means. We forgot the ability to be like the Almighty and to sanctify him only. Therefore, we have been committing idolatry. We commit idolatry when we go and take men such as JC, if you don't mind me calling them by that name, And I'm not to do anybody any disservice. I'm not trying to belittle anyone. I'm not trying to offend anyone. But I'd rather offend you than offend the Almighty. And the Almighty said, in all things that you do, be circumspect that thou mention not the name of any other God out of thy mouth, neither let it be heard out of your mouth. So I'm not going to pacify you by calling out these names of the idols that you love. And if you didn't love them, you would not mind me calling and not calling out their name. And when you call out the name of JC, that is the name of an idol. That is the name of a deity. And many of our brothers have names of deities. Many Israelites in Israel, in the nation of Israel, are wearing the names of these deities. One brother I talked to, I'm going to let him know about his name even before I tell you about it. Because again, the law tells us not to discover a secret to another, but to debate our clause first with whom? Our neighbor himself. So I let this brother know that the name that he chose is the name of a Babylonian god. And he must be corrected. And the scriptures tell us to give wisdom to a wise man and he will love you. Said what happened that did not come to pass. For instance, those of you that might have a New Testament at home, you might write down the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter, the 34th verse, where you will find out that in that verse, after he spoke of the things that would happen in the end of the world, and what would shortly happen before the end of the world, and its second so-called advent, that it is said in the book of Matthew 24 and 34 that this generation shall not pass away until all of these things are fulfilled. We find out that that generation passed away. Many other generations passed away.
All right, stop now.
And those things still have not happened. The sun has still not fell from heaven. The stars of heaven have still not come upon the earth. And all these things supposed to happen within that generation. It did not come to pass. Furthermore, if you look in the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter, if you write it down and read it at home, the 27th and 28th verse, he speaks of what would happen before his second advent. And then he tells his disciples that there shall be some that still be standing here when they see me coming with the clouds of heaven to rule the earth. Well, we find out that none of them are still standing there. They have all died, and those things have not come to pass. Even though he told them not one hair of their head would fall, many of them had their heads cut off. There was no divine protection for them, nor him. The last thing he said is, my Elohim, why hast thou forsaken me? He is forsaken because he prayed to the Father, according to the stories within the New Testament, to take the cup from him. But he still died. And then he asked our Creator, why was he forsaken? Because the Creator never answered him one mumbling word. Not only did he not answer him a mumbling word there, it is not recorded anywhere within the pages of the New Testament where the Father has ever spoken to anybody at any time. And you will never read in the New Testament where anyone ever said, thus said Yahweh. So we are not to fear these men. We are not to fear them. And we know their words is vain. And that's one of the past leaders that many of our people here still idolize. Here we have a present leader called Louis Farrakhan. Let's examine one of the things he said. when the United States was going to attack Iraq, you know what happened. He had in his paper front page, the roar of Armageddon. And he wrote a letter to President Bush saying, if this war shall ever be fought, I am here to tell you that it will be the end of the world, because this is the war that the Bible speaks of as the war of Armageddon. And this is the war of all wars that shall end the world. Many of you all that ever got your paper, you'll see it. If you go home and look at the one title, The War of Armageddon, where that war was fought, Hussein was put, the war is over, and several other wars have started since then. That was not the war of Armageddon. This man has no contact with the Creator. This man that claims a bunch of little spaceships follow him all day long, hovering over him with the mothership, and Elijah Muhammad is the pilot, this man is only deceiving you. You're not to fear him. And those that have feared him and since and started attempting to confederate with him have feared that people were great misservice. You're dealing with one of the top ambassadors of idolatry. And if you think Islam is a way, if you think the Almighty chose an Arabic to carry his message rather than one from amongst thy brethren that he chose, then you need to follow him. But if you trust in the words of the Almighty and you realize that all of his words are pure, then you know that he would only choose another Israelite. So whose message would you accept? The message of over 50 black prophets throughout the Holy Scriptures, or the word of one Abraham? The choice is up to you. It's going to get real touching here. Because now I'm beginning to attack one of your top idols. Let us turn our Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. In Deuteronomy, Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, the 21st verse, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil ways and the evil of their doing. Am I an Elohim at hand, said Yahweh, and not an Elohim afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I should not see him, said Yahweh? Do not I feel heaven and earth, said Yahweh? Yet I have heard what the prophet says, that prophesied lies in my name, said, I had a dream. I had a dream. How long should it be in the heart for the prophets that prophesy lies? Yet they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think that they can cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for this other deity. That prophet that has a dream, let him tell the dream. And he that has my words, let him speak my words faithfully, regardless what the people say, regardless how upset they might become. Speak my words faithfully. Faithfully means you speak it and you don't have any regard for respect or persons. Those of you in here that have your feelings hurt, I'm sorry, but as I've said, I'd rather hurt your feelings than I hurt mine. And I hurt the feelings of the Creator. And any time His servants exalt anyone other than Him, they hurt the Creator's feelings. And I'll not do that for no one in here. But I'll speak His word and speak it faithfully. If King was a prophet that was sent by the Almighty, would He have not turned you from your evil ways and from the evil of your doings? The King who kept and served the sun god, did He ever tell our people that the Sabbath day was a day that was created by the Almighty, and He gave it to His people to sanctify them, that they might be holy unto them? Did He ever teach our people to quit eating that greasy swine that Him and Abernathy love? Did He ever tell our people that these holidays of the heathens, Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, and 4th of July, are days of the Almighty? And the answer is no. But He rather told my people that I have a dream that one day black boys and white girls be holding hands, walking down the hillsides of Alabama, singing, "We Shall Overcome." He said, "I have a dream that one day a man would not be judged by the color of his skin, but rather by the contents of his heart." I'm here to tell you that that dream was a nightmare that he was having. Further says in Jeremiah 23:30, "Therefore, behold, I am against the prophet, saith Yahweh, to steal my words, every from one from his neighbor." And that's what they're doing. They're stealing his words, everyone from his neighbor. The people read the New Testament and say, "Well, let me tell you what God said," and then they tell you what Paul said. You say, "Wait a minute, now, who said this?" "What God said." "Well, right here says Paul." "Is the Almighty's name Paul? And did he change his name?" I know he's being called some funny names right now, but the Almighty has never answered by the name of Paul or John. So they're stealing his words, every one from his neighbor. "Behold, I'm against the prophets," said Yahweh, "that use their tongue and say," he said. He didn't say it. He don't say nothing to the, in the New Testament. The New Testament is no value to us at all. Not unless we got a dog we're trying to housebreak. Then we have use for it. Got that dog? Need to housebreak him, then you've got something that's of value. Other than that, it is like any other funny paper. The Spirit of the Almighty does not flow within the pages of the New Testament. The Spirit of Yahweh does not flow within the Spirit of the Quran. You will never see nothing in either book that says, "Thus said Yahweh." These are not His words. His Spirit does not flow through the book. You want to find out the words of your father? Then you must get what the heathens has named the Old Testament, which we know as the Holy Scriptures. There's no other book. These prophets have caused you to err. And you will say, "Well, he freed me." But first of all, who do you think put you in captivity? Huh? It was not the white man that put you in captivity. The Almighty, if you want to know who puts you in captivity, and if you want to know why these evils are befalling you,
Then look in your book.
In Jeremiah, the 5th chapter.
Look at the 19th verse.
Because the Almighty said it should come to pass when you ask these questions. Our people are getting together now because they want to meet. Some Muslims and Christians and Rastafarians got to meet. Hey, Brother Lisa, we want you to represent the Israelite community and join and unite with us in eradicating the misery in our community. I said, Brother, eradicate what misery? Well, our people are killing each other. They're shooting each other. Our women are turning into whores and prostitutes. AIDS is on the rampant. And our people are dying by the sword every day. They're dying, Brother Lisa, and these drugs are killing them. We need you to unite with us and speak out against that. But, Brother Lisa, we don't want you to hurt nobody else's feelings. We got a lot of people here. We got Christians and Rastafarians and Muslims, and we all united for one common cause, and that is the good of our community. So we want you to speak. We want you to be one of the guest speakers, but we don't want you to step on nobody's toes. I said, Brother, you don't want me to speak here. You don't want me to speak if I can't tell you who's really the blame for the murder, the death, the misery, the exploitation, the discrimination, and subjugation of our community. If you want to know who's to blame, then I'll tell you. If you want to know who can save you, I can tell you. We find out that it's within the pages of Jeremiah, the 5th chapter, the 19th verse, where it says, and it shall come to pass, when you shall say, wherefore the Jabriel of him do these things unto us? Why is he allowing our women to become whores? Why is he allowing all our grandsons and little children to die by the sword? Why is drugs rampant through our community? Why are we the head and not the tail? Why are we the landless and not the landowner? Why are we the borrowers and not the lenders? The Almighty said our people would ask that question. It says, and it shall come to pass, when ye shall say, wherefore the Jahweh Elohim do all these things unto us, then shall I answer them, Lot, as ye have forsaken me, and served strange deities in your land, so shall ye serve strangers in a land that is not yours. And that's why we're serving the strangers, because we forsook the Almighty, who's the rock of our salvation, our strength, and we started serving graven images. They got eyes and see not, ears have they and hear not, mouths have they and speak not. We began to serve these strange deities, and as a result of us dealing in idolatry, the Almighty has turned his back on us and brought this disaster upon us. And if you want to know why your sons and daughters are in drugs, all you need to do is look at the Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. And we'll tell you exactly why they're selling drugs. According to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, we find that it's recorded. Within the 28th verse, we find in the 15th verse that it says, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of Yahweh the Elohim, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all of these curses shall come upon thee and shall finally, regardless if it's 1999, they will finally overtake thee. Then he tells us in the 28th verse, Yahweh will smite thee with madness and blindness and an astonishment of heart. And you know a man must be mad. The guilt gets some filthy chemicals and injected in his body
Who else would inject a mind control chemical in his body but a madman? Who else would sell chemicals that would make his daughters lay down with dogs in order to get money to get some more but a madman? And our people are truly mad. So how could I stand with people such as Jesse Jackson and Louis Farrakhan and a Christian community and a Muslim community to eradicate the miseries of our community when they are the ones that are responsible? You want to clean up our community of drugs and violence and black-on-black crimes, then put away your strange gods and turn to the Almighty and lift up your voice unto Him and Him only. The Almighty can still save us. According to Isaiah 59 and 1, the Creator lets you know. He said, behold, Yahweh's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, like he took his arm and mighty arm and brought Israel out of the land of Egypt with a mighty and stretched out arm. He said, that arm is not shortened, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your Elohim, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So all you have to do is turn unto him, and he will return unto you, because he never changes. The wind changed, the weather changed, you and I changed, but he never changed. Malachi 3:6 said, I am Yahweh, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your father have you went away from my ordinances and not kept them. But return unto me, and I will return unto you. We find further in the book of Daniel, the 4th chapter. According to Daniel, the 4th chapter, I want to read something that's mentioned in the 17th verse about Jesse Jackson. The Almighty has not excluded him. He's a very important man. And he wants to hold a very important position. He wants to be the newest Pharaoh of modern Babylon. And I'm telling you that anyone, period, that forsakes the Almighty and deal in politics are being led astray. They're being led astray. Because any man that becomes a professional politician has one responsibility. That one responsibility is, how do I get back in office? If he's professional. And I'm a professional barber. My main job is, how can I make my patron come back? That's easy. Give him good service, good cut, you come back. So a politician, how do I get back in office? Well, it's easy. If you want to get back in office, then you can't do what is right. You must do that which is expedient. And to do what is expedient, you got to do what the people want you to do. And oftentimes, the people don't want what's right because they don't even know what's right. If they knew what was right, they would take all the people that got AIDS and quarantine them, like we did the people that were sick. That we did the people that had leprosy. That we did all the disease that had a contagious and were contagious. We quarantined them, like Castro did in Cuba. You didn't have to worry about being elected back in office. He's the dictator for life. So all he has to do is do what's right. He doesn't have to do what's expedient. He took all the AIDS victims and put them over in a hospital, and they can't leave until they are healed. Right now, Cuba virtually don't have no problem concerning AIDS. But we got a man, and we know he got AIDS, and we sent him out, or sent her back out into the community to infest everybody else. And we know they have a dangerous disease, but we can't speak out about it because the politician that tries to go up against the homosexual community is doomed. He's doomed. So what does Jesse do? He does what is politically expedient. Even though he was a friend of Martin Luther King and said he stood for nonviolence, he now supports a strong military. Even though he says he's a disciple of nonviolence, when Bush attacked Panama, he said he did the right thing. When Bush bombed Africa, when he dropped a bomb or went over there with bombs in Libya, he said he did the right thing.
All right.
He has to be for a strong military now in order to be a political candidate. Even though he says he's a Christian minister, he now supports homosexuality.
No,
he told the homosexual community, I need you.
All right.
I walk with you.
Yeah.
I upheld your beliefs.
Uh-huh.
So now I need you. So we see a grave departed. Even though he says he's against violence and any type of death, we know Jesse Jackson now, like most Democrats, like most black people, now supports pro-life, or what do you call it, pro-choice. And pro-choice means that you can kill your baby if you want to. I might not agree with you, but if that's what you want to do, it's all right. Well, any man of Elohim would be against anyone attempting to kill the fruit of the womb. According to the book of Exodus 22, our unborn baby is called a living child, and it is also called the fruit of the womb. And the Almighty gives us instructions of how to deal with anyone that takes the life of the fruit of the womb. So now this man that once stood for nonviolence, who once stood for moral concepts, that once stood against homosexuality, now supports all of them. Because this is what politics will reduce you to being. And let's see what the Creator has to say about politics. If we look in the book of Daniel, the 4th chapter, the 17th verse, it reads, this matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and he will what? Give it to whomsoever he will. And he set it up over it, the basis, the lowest of men. At one time I didn't think you could get a president lower than Reagan. I'm sorry, lower than Nixon. Then who pop up? Bush and Ford. And I swear, he must be at the lowest point. This must be the end of the world. Because if this represents the cream of their crop, what the president is supposed to do, and this is the lowest man that I ever seen, I don't think they could get any lower. Until I see this boy you got now, that many of you all call your favorite, your Caesar, and your president. But I want you to know, according to the book of Isaiah, the 33rd chapter, that it tells us, and I believe it, and I accept it, and it tells us, and it tells me, in Isaiah 33, 22, for Yahweh
is our what?
Judge.
Yahweh is our what? Lawgiver. Yahweh is our what?
King.
And he will save us. No one else but Yahweh. Right now, I want to talk longer, but we have other great speakers to come on stage. I didn't want to tell anyone who the next speaker was going to be. He's going to make it very brief. I didn't want you to know who he was because I didn't want everybody to get up and leave. But unfortunately, I'm the next speaker. And I'll make it very brief. Extremely brief, because the sun is beginning to go down. And this is how we observe our Sabbath in Cincinnati. We don't tell nobody that the Sabbath day ends or begins at 7:30 or 8:30 or 8:45. We don't tell them at dusk or when the twilight or in between evenings. We go right to the scriptures and tell them that our Sabbath day ends when it gets dark. When it's dark, it's over. No other time. Now, right now, it's growing dark, so I'm going to speed this up because all of us are going to eat a nice meal that's been prepared for us. And as I have said, even though we asked the various congregations to bring $40 for the whole congregation, the trip was very expensive, and we're just glad that you came. Your presence is greater than any little amount of money that we could get. So we're glad that you all came, and never let money hold you up from taking part of this Unity Conference. The brothers and sisters, we told them in Cincinnati, we want you to go. They said, well, brother, I don't have no transportation. I said, our class would get a bus. They said, well, I don't have no money for a room. We said, we'll pay. We just want you to be here. We want you to see your other Israelite brothers and sisters from around the world and know who they are. We want you to be part, and we don't have money as an issue because the earth is Yahweh and the fullness thereof. Nothing. It said there's nothing too hard for the Almighty, and it's not. So bringing us together, all you have to do is have the will and the desire, and the brothers and sisters are going to see that it's made possible. Right now, my presentation will not be me teaching, but rather you teaching me. I pass out booklets on something that I believe in. I believe it's the truth, and I want to make a challenge to you all. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, the 30th chapter. Anyone that doesn't have one of these booklets, hold up your hand because we want you with it. We want you to get this booklet. We want you to dissect it. We want you to take it to your elders, your rabbis, your leaders. We want you to lay it before. We want them to dissect it and then bring it back and show us an error that was made. Because we in Cincinnati, we believe there's two things the Creator let us know that we believe in very firmly. And everybody in our congregation know these two verses by heart. One, it appears in the book of Proverbs 3:5, where it says, trust in Yahweh with all your heart, and lean not into your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thy own eyes, but fear Yahweh, and depart from evil. The other verse we have all memorized, to be a part of our congregation, you've got to memorize these verses. And that is what is written within the pages of Proverbs, the 30th chapter, the 5th and the 6th verse, which says, every word of Yahweh is pure. Every word is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found alive. so a lot of pain was put in that I don't put none of the personality of myself in this literature. A lot of pain went in to make sure that every word that is recorded here is pure, and not, and that I not add. Because the scripture says in Deuteronomy 12 and 32, add not unto his words, neither diminish thereof. So we're not to diminish, take nothing away, and neither are we to add. Because according to Psalms 19 and 7, it says, the law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. Now if his word is perfect, then he don't need me to add something to it to help him out. He don't need my help. And neither do he need your help to take something that he got written to make it better for you and your congregation to be able to do anything that you choose. We got to walk a straight path if we're going to serve the Almighty. If we're truly Israel, we must be ready and able to make changes. And right now we're dealing in the last days. And the changes we make are going to be fast. Some of them are going to be often. Because the Almighty lets us know that in the last days, wisdom will be increased. And now we are learning more than our foreparents did. Many of them didn't even have a Bible. Until Nehemiah and Ezra walked in the street and read it for everybody, they didn't know what the book said. But right now you have been blessed to have scriptures in your house, toys in your house, Bibles in your house that you can study day and night. So there is no excuse for you saying, I didn't know. You all study this literature, and I'll make an indictment against anyone in this congregation and this assembly that think I'm wrong and would not personally let me know right now in front of you. We teach that the Passover is our holy day, as this literature will tell you. I won't spend a great deal of time on it because many of y'all studied it last night. Many of y'all will take it home. We teach that we are the only one the Creator gave his statutes, laws, covenants, and commandments too. We teach that even a stranger was not given these days. As the Almighty said, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore will I punish you for your iniquities. We're the only people that he knows, the children of Israel. And the only strangers that are able to keep any of our laws and feast days were strangers that sojourned with us. Sojourn means to live with you. And to live with us in our house, a stranger had to be born in our house or bought with our money. So the brothers in the room here that are keeping the Passover are calling themselves keeping the Passover with Jewish people, with white people. You must justify that. You must straighten me out and show me where you can do it. Abraham had a son named Yitzchak. Yitzchak had a son named Jacob. Jacob had a brother named Esau. But we're dealing with Abraham's first son, Isaac. Isaac had a brother named who?
Ishmael.
Now, the question that I'll ask you at this time, and you don't have to answer me aloud. Write it down, study it at home. I don't want to try to put my wits against anyone. I don't want them putting their wits against me because it's not bringing about brotherly love or unity. So question it at home. My question is, was Isaac's brother Ishmael, was he also part of the covenant of circumcision? And I want you to look at it when you get home. It's going to shock you. But believe it or not, Ishmael was not part of the covenant of circumcision. Even though Ishmael was Isaac's brother. Now, was a stranger that was born in Isaac's house a part of the covenant of circumcision? And the answer is shocking again. It's yes. Why? Because the covenant was made with Isaac and not Ishmael. Look in the book of Genesis, the 17th chapter, and you'll quickly see this. Look in the 17th chapter of Genesis, and if you quickly look at the 20th verse and the 21st verse, it says, "And as for Ishmael," starting at the 19th verse, "and Elohim said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear a son in thee, and thou shalt call his name Yitzchak, and I will establish my covenant with whom? With him, for an everlasting covenant, and with him and his seed after him." Didn't say nothing about brother. Now watch the next verse. "And as for Ishmael, I heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. 12 tribes shall he beget, and I will make a what? Great nation of him." But, what does the word but mean? But my covenant will I establish with whom? Isaac. And with Sarah, who shall bear unto thee, and the set time and at the set year. So we said and we established by the word of the Almighty, the Israelites, the Arabs, and that's mean they don't believe in circumcision. It was not given to them. And they had not to keep circumcision because he was made a great nation, had 12 princes. But the covenant was made with Yitzchak or Isaac. His seed after him, and everyone that is what? Born in this house or bought with his money. The reason that the Almighty could not make the covenant with Ishmael, because Ishmael can come and go as he pleased. He didn't have to take rules and laws and orders from Isaac. Isaac had no authority over him. But for his household that was with him, he had the authority to command them the walk and the way of Yahweh. His household. As we look in the book of Genesis 18, 18th chapter, the 20th verse. Bear with me just a little longer, and I'll make this as brief as I can. "For I know him," speaking of Abraham, "that he will command his children and his what? Household after him, that they shall keep what? They shall keep the way of Yahweh and do justice and judgment, that Yahweh may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." So he knows that we have the authority to command our households to circumcise themselves. We've got the authority to demand that our wives, our little ones, our children, our servants that are in our home to walk in the way of the Almighty. Now you have no authority over a hired servant. Therefore, a hired servant or a foreigner are not to keep the Passover, neither are they under this covenant. Because a hired servant can go and come and go as he chooses. You have no authority. So whoever keeps our feast